Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy Wednesday, everyone. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, great conservative website, along with Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Hey, and I always forget to do this. Let me take a moment to remind folks, you can catch all of our podcasts a couple of different ways. If you want to join live or even just call direct during the live podcast, you can go to chuckandjulie.com and that'll give you links. And you can also just go to BBS Radio. Radio.com as well. And if you go there, we have a new thing we're offering. Would love to have you guys join in if it's something that you feel like you'd want to do, but it's a patron a button where you can click and it says subscribe. You don't really subscribe. I mean, the podcast is always going to be free and you're always going to get it. But if you want to help us financially support the show, you can contribute there just to go to a BBS Radio.com.
And we'll have parties for our subscribers.
Yeah, we're going to have a newsletter. We're going to have probably quarterly get-togethers. And if you can't make it, then you can join us on Zoom, but in person get-togethers. Now that Governor Polis has released us from serfdom and we can. Lot to talk about today. We're going to have on at the bottom of the hour two of the four good candidates for the Douglas County School Board. We'll have two more next Wednesday, but want to hear from them. Ground Zero is in Douglas County, I think, for some of these teachers' union fights. Right, they don't call, you know, here's the thing. The Denver Post had a story the other day saying they're not teaching critical race theory in Colorado schools. No, they're teaching equity theory. Well, it's the same thing. Okay. And so we're going to talk to them about that and why it's so important we push back. But in the meantime, everyone, you can rest easy. Our favorite school board member, communist Kay Anderson, grifter extraordinaire, has decided to heck with those silly sex assault on children allegations against him.
Taking
too long. It's been what, a couple weeks now?
Yeah.
So he is going to resume his duties on the Denver
day-to-day
school board.
Day-to-day duties. And I kind of wonder, what are those day-to-day duties?
Well, yeah.
There are no day-to-day duties. For Denver board members.
No, but effective immediately. Now, I hope the cowards on the Denver school board jump in there and say, wait, Tay, you know, I know it's pesky that investigations into sex assault allegations against children take a little bit of time. And Tay, he goes, the cops haven't even contacted me to talk to me yet. It's well, guess what, Tay? They wait to talk to the victims first. Now, we don't know if any victims have come forward. That's been the rub. So I can see Tay Anderson has a point in terms of there should be some sort of end to an investigation. But the company the school board hired to do this said that they would have it all done by the end of the summer, right? So that's another, 5 weeks till school starts again.
He's got a
How can he grift? How can he take
Well, he hasn't slowed down on the grifting because you'll be excited to know that Tay has a birthday coming up. As a practical matter, his grandma died a while ago, and he thinks his grandma... Best thing for his grandma, he had the best birthday he ever had. So you can give money to Tay, who will dedicate it to himself in the name
of his grandmother. I mean, can you believe that? So we've done stories on this show in the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. Tay Anderson has launched a couple of GoFundMe pages, right, to raise money that just goes to him. And then he has a gift registry for his baby, for the woman who had a baby that he's not married to. He had a gift registry at Target where you could go and you could pick up and donate there too. But that got a little pesky because people like us were actually looking at the GoFundMe page and saying, what's up with this? And filed the campaign finance disclosure complaint against him. Matt Arnold did with Campaign Integrity Watchdog. So Tay has gotten much smarter. Not going through GoFundMe anymore. No. He's going through Venmo, PayPal. So you can still contribute to Tay Anderson to make sure he has a kind of birthday his dead grandmother would want him to have. What an idiot.
What a grifter.
The only thing more idiotic are people who would actually donate to Tay Anderson.
Oh, there are lots of them.
And you would think that maybe the whole sex assault allegations thing would hold them up. Hey, but some news on that front. So we had Matt Arnold on a couple of weeks ago. Matt Arnold filed the report. What basically, it's a fairly simple, straightforward thing. If you're an elected official and you get gifts of over, I guess, so it's maybe not
65
Yeah, over a certain amount of money, you have to disclose that. You have to file a report, right? Every elected official does it, but theoretically they're supposed to, except for Tay Anderson. Can't be bothered with that kind of messy, icky paperwork. So they file the complaint. The Democrat Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, basically said,
Is this about a Democrat?
Is this about a Democrat? That we don't do those. On the other hand, though, Matt Arnold, who is extremely bright, noted also that under the law, the failure to disclose this could also be a criminal misdemeanor.
Right.
So he also filed the complaint with the Denver District Attorney's Office. The Denver District Attorney's Office a few days ago informed Matt, who informed us, and now we're informing you, that they have indeed opened a criminal investigation into Tay Anderson for failing to disclose these contributions. And there are more contributions too. I mean, there's sort of an ongoing list. Let me ask you this, Chuck, because I think there are a couple interesting things about it. Anymore, I'm so skeptical. I find it hard to believe that the Denver DA's office is just doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. I'm wondering if this is more of a smackdown of, you know, Tay Anderson, you know, the sex assault allegations clearly are not going anywhere criminally, it doesn't seem.
Well,
and
I don't know if they are.
Do you think, is this a sign, do you think that Beth McCann, that again, Tay Anderson has just sort of fallen out of favor with the Democrat Party? Or am I reading too much into this, do you think?
I have no idea. I have no idea of reading the tea leaves on whether they just feel they need to investigate it. I knew they sent a letter, said there's been complaint, and then they got nothing in response. Said, okay, we'll open a investigation.
Yeah, but that's a thing. You'd think, by the way, so you get a letter from the Denver District Attorney's Office. It's not like Tay Anderson is particularly busy. He doesn't really do anything. And now he's not doing his day-to-day activities. And he doesn't even bother to respond. It's like, I mean, that shows sort of the contempt that he has for all of us, I think. And this from Sandra, the school board knew about the claims. You'd think they would, you know, think they would change their minds now. What a bottom feeder. Yeah, Dr. Donna's like, a new way to campaign for donations. Yeah, just flat out say, my dead grandmother would like me to have a great birthday. So everyone give me money and here's my Venmo account. I do understand the hesitancy of women to come forward or females to come forward to state their claim for sexual assault. He's a big name. Nothing may happen to the one accused. And then the victim is open for assault. And that's absolutely true. And Dr. Donna, that's exactly what the organizations Black Lives Matter and then another a woman basically came forward and said she had been contacted by a lot of students, female students, saying that he and male students, frankly, actually also everything from what appears to be from her description, an outright rape to to improper.
But he needs a good birthday, Julie. He needs a good birthday.
You're right. I digress.
So get that money to him. It's just his Venmo account. And it's a great thing.
Wow. I keep a watch on that filing calendar, even when not in an actual campaign, as I leave my account open. Exactly, Dr. Donna. And know that if you miss a filing, they can basically, in her words, take your firstborn. To those upset by that, you may be too young to know the saying. It was not meant to be offensive. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, they go after who they choose to go after. So we'll see what happens with this. We're going to have Matt Arnold on Friday,
right,
to talk about it and explain it a little bit more. But I think that is an interesting investigation. I don't know. Do you think they would use it to maybe drag him in there? And while he's there, ask him about the other thing? No. Or what do you?
I have no idea what they're going to do, but it's a good sign that at least they weren't like the Secretary of State, who just came up with a pathetic.
Right.
It's
not our job.
I
know we're the Secretary of State, so you'd think that, you know, candidate contributions and things like that would be under our purview, but apparently not.
You're a Republican.
Unless you're a Republican, then we'll file all kinds of complaints against you. So there's that. So we'll keep you up to date on that on Friday. You wanted to talk about Biden.
Biden in Cuba. Cuba.
Yeah.
So in Cuba, as everybody knows, there are these spontaneous mass protests in lots in 26 cities or some amazing amount.
60, I think.
Is it in Cuba? And they're just saying freedom. Cuba was the darling of the Fauci world. When COVID came out, they restricted everybody to their houses. They prevented everything. And being a communist state, it's even easier than it is for freedom-loving Americans. And we were pretty easy. But that killed whatever little economy they had.
No, Chuck, Trump killed it. It was Trump's, right. Trump's sanctions killed it.
So that they're out on the streets, and then Cuban Americans in this country, who are very anti-communist, having
lived under the system that AOC and the rest of them, Bernie Sanders always is praising Cuba for its health system. Can I go? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's work. How's that working? Maybe he could go there for some treatment.
But he says he urged the Cuban government to display no violence. In this regard, and you kind of go, how do you think the Cuban government exists?
Well, the Cuban
it is a repressive communist regime that by violence it gets its way.
Basically,
not a whole lot different than the way the Biden administration, FBI, and DOJ reacted when there were protests at the Capitol.
Right.
They exaggerated whatever violence there was. They did everything else, and they started arresting with people and putting them in solitary confinement.
Well, and actually there are videotapes emerging of the communist regime, the military there, shooting people. I mean, outright.
Where, Washington or
Spanish? Oh, okay. Actually shooting people. And the military there has been told to go out there and, you know, assassinations, executions. They have cracked down on all of the social media, although Facebook doesn't seem to have a problem with any of it. But it seems to be a very bad, intense situation there.
Well, it's been hard for Cuba. So in 59, Fidel overthrows Batista, installs a communist regime within a year or two. That's propped up by the Soviet Union, and so the economy was propped up. But then the Soviet Union, being a communist state, fell apart because of economics, by and large, and other reasons. And so then they were dependent on Venezuela, another socialist state. It fell apart. It fell apart because it's a socialist state, even though it had huge oil revenues and everything else. So now they don't have either of those. They don't have anybody. I guess China's not willing to prop them up right now. And so they blame it on the U.S. embargo, of course.
Did they lift that? I mean, no, for all practice. Well, but I mean, there's trap. Well, there. What? Why would you want to go?
Well,
there now
that's
COVID.
Well, that was their other big problem. They were getting a lot of tourism there from Europe and everywhere else, and COVID restrictions cut all that off. So it's taken an incredibly poor economy and driven it even further down. And the restrictions vis-a-vis the COVID, which Fauci and all that were praising so much for, has resulted in riots. But Bernie Sanders says no violence on the protesters because their right to protest. There is no right to protest in Cuba. If you haven't figured that out, Bernie.
Well, and here's the thing. And then the Miami Herald, so people in Cuban Americans and supporters were protesting in Miami. And they did what the Antifa people do. They closed down a highway, right? Uh-huh. And the Miami Herald today is saying, why isn't DeSantis arresting the Cuban protesters? Yeah. I mean, they're saying, you know, they're like, why these Cuban protesters? My God, they're closing down the streets.
These are don't you realize these are Republican voting people?
Exactly.
These are Republican voting people. Get them.
And that's the thing. Biden tells, you know, Kamala Harris, whatever, when she goes to the board, it's like, come on in. If you're coming from Central America, you might be a Democrat voter. Not an issue. Come on in. Now they're telling the people in Cuba, hey, we're not letting you in. Don't come in here. We're going to turn your boats around. It's funny how that border seems to work. If there are people who might turn out to be Republican voters want to come into the country. It's like, no. Why are we even supporting those people? The Biden administration is saying, it's not communism. We don't know what their problem is. I think it's fine.
It's mismanagement.
Well, yeah, hello. It's
but since you manage the entire economy, mismanagement means that the whole economy is mismanaged.
How can a communist regime mismanagement? Like you said, it runs everything. It controls everything. There is no mismanagement.
Well, it inevitably mismanages because it inevitably comes up with bad ideas which are never self-corrected because there's no way to self-correct in a communist system.
Right. And this from Dr. Donna. Oh, wait, Cuba just doesn't know how to do the right thing. So otherwise it would be a utopia there. And then Bernie Sanders and his $3 million homes. What a commie liar and his stupid followers. And the Democrats told the Cubans they could not come to the United States. Exactly. But so it's okay to have millions come from Mexico on the southern border. We talk about the hypocrisy all the time, but again, keep your eyes open about the hypocrisy. And that is the Democrats see immigration and illegal immigration. If H.R. 1 doesn't pass, if they get caught, which it looks like they are in terms of some of the election issues going on in 2020, at the very least, they have these millions of people coming into the country illegally who are going to be Democrat voters. Now, they don't want even like 5 possible Republican voters coming into the state.
Right,
so,
right.
And so in the meantime, the Cuban protesters there are asking for military intervention by the United States.
Well, no. Well, that you're thinking of Haiti. Haiti, they're asking for military intervention because
That's a mess
there
too.
There is a Cuban army that would resist the United
States.
Oh,
okay. I guess you're right.
But
Haiti, my mistake.
They can, look, we don't just take us over. Yeah. Just take us over. Except we did that in 1913 or something, and it's never worked out very well. And everybody's going, no, I don't think we'll just take over. That's okay.
I think that
we'll send the Clintons down to grift some money from you.
I think the Biden administration is having some very bad days. This Cuba thing, this is blowing up in their face. There are a lot of people who are like, well, wait a minute. Aren't we friends to people who are oppressed? Aren't we supposed to help the oppressed people? And in Cuba, I mean, it's not even like a genteel oppression, right? They can't get enough food, water, healthcare. It's like a significant oppression.
Well,
great
educational system, great healthcare system. Everything's great there, according to Bernie.
And don't pay any attention to this.
AOC.
Yeah, those silly people.
So the same system they want to impose on us. They're all quiet. Bernie says no violence. No violence. You know,
even though they're shooting people, the Cuban army is shooting people.
He says, you know, they should have their right to protest, which is enshrined in what? Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's Bernie. A communist country, Bernie. And if you turn this country into a communist, you know, country, we won't have a right to protest either, which it's already being eroded. Look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. after that January 6th thing.
Right.
But so the Biden had that. The news came out. Remember when Biden was saying, oh, the barbecue is cheaper. Ketchup and relish are cheaper this year.
Turns out, campers.
No, the economic news came out. Nope, it's worse than they thought. Inflation continues to skyrocket and rise.
Oh, that's you know, one thing about Cuba. The Cuban embargo, American embargo. The American embargo does hurt the economy of Cuba, but as a practical matter, they're not embargoed by anybody else. So Mexico, all of South America, Europe, Canada. So if it had a good system, if the system worked, they'd be great. It may be augmented some from the United States, but they can trade with anybody in the whole world.
Right.
Nobody wants to seem to trade with them too much because they don't have much
of a
system.
What do they trade? Right.
Well, they have cigars. I mean, Cuban cigars are highly valued. Rum, I think, some other things. Sugar cane, it used to be. But it just doesn't seem to be working too well.
Well, the Democrats, again, and the Biden administration doesn't want to talk about that, but it is a crisis. They're going to have to deal with it. You've got a bunch of Cuban Americans. You've got Marco Rubio. It's a big enough issue for enough people here that you may not see much of it on CNN or ABC, but there are enough people who are upset about
CNN,
it.
CNN, with its own economic news about itself, is like the Cuba of the airwaves. Trump supporters are boycotting it or something. I mean, the embargo by Trump supporters.
Well, and Brian Stelter did a good call about, look, our ratings were up the other day, forgetting to mention when people were watching the Branson thing, right? The Branson thing. So that those ratings were better. But he neglected to mention that live report took the place of his show.
Oh, much
better.
So the
ratings were up.
Much
when
better.
Brian Stelter was not actually on the air. He kind of left that part out. Well, that's the same thing.
So
it's like the Cubans are not oppressed. They're happy people, you know, and show somebody dancing. But I think the Biden administration, there is too much. This is why I'm becoming really, frankly, more encouraged. After the election, I was depressed, but I'm becoming more encouraged every day. There are so many bad things happening to the Biden administration of their own making that even the mainstream media, which ignores it and pretends like it's not going on or flat out lies about it, which is what they do
now.
What's
left of the mainstream media? I mean, honestly, what is
left? No one believes them anyway. Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to go on CNN and look at their webpage because it's just total fantasy. Now, Fox isn't very good, to tell you the truth. It's mostly National Enquirer stuff. Maybe the lead stories about politics, but you don't get a lot of meat from Fox, and you got a Gateway Pundit, and then you got all the other ones, and eventually you get enough news. But
you can kind of piece stuff together.
Yeah.
Well, but people don't believe, but again, I think that there are these issues are the kind of issues that the Biden administration can lie to. They can get on TV and he and his press secretary can say, oh, it's a cheaper barbecue. And everyone else in America goes, no, it's not. And by the way, gas is up a dollar since you took office. You can tell me all you want that prices are not going up, but I know they're going up. You can tell me all you want that the Cuban people are happy, but I can see these videotapes that are coming out of them
they're
being
very,
shot by
very
the
very
army
happy.
And the people, their relatives. operatives and political supporters in this country holding rallies saying we need to help them. We need to help them. And again, the Miami Herald, you'd think, rather than say, you know, we should be doing something to help Cuba. It seems pretty bad over there. They're like, why isn't DeSantis arresting those people? It's like, you know, essentially it's like insanity there.
I remember being in the Bahamas and you can see Cuba from Bahamas, at least on a clear day. And one guy is saying, oh, I very much admire the Fidel Castro and Cuba and everything. I say, oh, great. Well, but you're trying to get into New York City. Why don't you go to us? Oh, it's hell over there. But I mean, so you don't want to live there. But as a shining example of communism, which is really sort of, can we drop AOC and Bernie right in the middle of Havana?
And here's the thing. Why is Biden... You would think if you're Biden, this would be one of those issues that a lot of people would agree on. And it says to me a lot that he is not willing to cross a line that would have AOC criticize him or Bernie Sanders criticize him.
He slightly criticized Cuba and said they stand with the Cuban people.
We're not going to do anything for you.
But you can stand with Tay Anderson by sending him money, and that's just as good.
Well, and in the meantime, you can't come here. If you're a Cuban refugee, where things are actually bad, you can't come here. No. But if you're a drug cartel member, sex trafficking children across the border, that's cool.
Welcome.
We got a hotel here we're putting you up at. You know, we're going to give you all kinds of benefits. We're going to give you dental care while you're here. I mean, it's and people notice, I'm getting back to why I'm encouraged. People notice that that their kids, you know, are not in school. People notice that the teachers are telling their little kindergartners that they're racist. People notice bothering teachers. They're giving condoms to fifth graders now. I mean, people notice this kind of stuff. And people are mad about this kind of stuff. People notice that their prices are up. People notice that the people in Cuba are protesting and they're getting, you know, attacked and assaulted and in some cases shot by the military there. And Joe Biden keeps trying to tell us, oh, no, everything. Look, what's I'm eating more chocolate
ice cream.
But we
do have the Freedom Caravan of Democratic legislatures from Texas in Washington, apparently for a long, long time to come, because the governor of Texas has promised, no, you know, the minute you come in, I'm resting.
Well, then they have a quorum, right? So they can actually take the vote. I thought they had
a quorum in the Senate, but not the House.
Oh, not the House. Yeah. Here, this is from Sandra Truck. I like your thinking. Let's drop all the Democrats to Cuba. They're not gonna.
Let's drop Jared Polis there. Let's drop our legislature there. Could our legislature go to?
Well, I mean, and what a,
go to Washington.
What a joke! So the Texas legislators, and you got to wonder who's paying for that, got on board a private charter jet, but they still should be wearing masks. They're not, and they're talking about, you know, they're the oppression, they're being oppressed, and they're going for freedom. And they got the big thing of beer, behind it. It's, I mean, what a joke it is, and people see that. I think people see that the Republican Party raised huge amounts of money. I don't know. There's a whole other issue there, but nationally, right?
Well, they have more money than God. I mean, you know, Republicans, I know in Colorado, have no money. And whatever money they have is from rhinos. So,
but what I mean, though, is people are not turning away from the Republican Party. I don't know why they're contributing to it, frankly. That's just me. But they're not. There are various candidates you should contribute to. I don't think I'd send a dime to any, the RNC, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, or even the Colorado Republican Party.
Well, I couldn't say that because I'm on the...
don't
do that.
I'm sorry.
It'll interfere with my non-existent pay.
Mm-hmm. But the point is, though, that people are not turning away from the Republican Party. I think
just because the Democratic Party is so awful. Right. Here in Colorado, you know, you have this LEAP initiative, and I think Ken Ramson is going to have something important Friday on it. Kim Munson is going to have something important on it Friday, and I think you all should look at that. But it's just amazing that Republicans from the only living Republican governor.
in generations.
I mean, the Republican Party in Colorado is full of more of the worst people that you can imagine.
We could send them to Cuba, too.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting to see, because I don't think the Cuba thing, I think it is one of those things that's going to get worse before it gets better, right? I mean, you know, with Obama, we're all helpful, happy to help the folks in the Arab Spring. That was okay. But Cuba, our neighbor, where we've got tons of people who have relatives over there are in this country, it's like, well, good luck to you guys. Merry, happy Cuban people.
Yes,
you know, yes. You're not really that oppressed because communism works. I don't understand what Biden thinks he's, you know, he does. His administration seems to be flailing and all kinds of things bad happening. Look at Afghanistan. I was saying this, I don't know. I think it's good that we're getting out of Afghanistan, but it does seem kind of funny to me that we like left all our weapons there, that the Taliban is now coming in and using to shoot the people who helped us in the first place. Have you seen those videos?
The people who helped us are the only ones that are going to probably stand up for the administration. They're leaving. So they're taking all the people that are for the administration out. Well, that's good. That should result in a good result.
Well, that's in the meantime, they should have taken them out beforehand. Cause like, have you seen the execution videos where they're no. So yeah, they're using the weapons and all the stuff that we left there. And I'm sorry if you're going to, it's like moving, right? You don't leave all of your stuff there. Why would you not take the weapons? It just seems like a no-brainer to me. And here's what I think. This is a cynical person might think that somebody in the military or somewhere made the calculated decision that, you know, it was cheaper just to leave them there and let the Taliban come get them and use the American weapons to shoot the former American supporters who are now all dead, then it would be just to get rid of them. And it's like, you know, so what? These are, you know, they're in Afghanistan, for Pete's sakes. They're not going to vote in the election.
Well, I love our woke generals these days, like Miley and others. I mean, they are a little woke communist. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yep, it is. About Sandra saying she looked at LEAP, a majority of the in favor are Republicans. Kick their, you know, what's out. We need real conservatives. Yeah, I think we'll talk more about the LEAP thing because I think hopefully it won't make the ballot. I think we need to make sure it doesn't make the ballot in the first place because they're going to try to trick people.
As long as you got enough money, you can always get on the ballot. And there's enough money to be made from it. That's $150 million bucks a year. That'll go down a trough of people. So it'll make it.
Hey, one other thing too, that you guys can rest easy. Remember after the election, there was a big story, Time Magazine, without really realizing what was saying, let us know that like 100 responsible multinational corporations that are all out to screw you had been holding conference calls to try to figure out how to rig the election and successfully did. They were bragging about the fact that they did that.
Right.
You'd be glad to know that those same people today have written 150 Wall Street corporations have written a letter urging Congress to basically take over the United States elections, to pass H.R. 1. So they don't want ever, you know, to have to worry about having to have the other conference calls again. They just want to make sure that they're rigged from the start. And so you need to know those multinationals, they are on it. They are on it, trying to make sure that we don't ever have any fair elections again. Speaking of that, it is interesting. President Trump, this will probably get a ban from YouTube, but putting out statements about what's going on in Georgia. And that's going to be interesting. Once stuff comes out, we'll go ahead and get somebody on to help us sort through. Because I will say this, it is difficult to know which are the groups that are theorizing, right? And which are the people that actually know. And my sense is the people that actually know right now are not talking, right?
No.
They're getting all their ducks in a row. So that would be the one caution. It's easy to get excited and it's easy to say, okay, we knew it. This proves it. But I think we want to be careful here.
We're not to be careful. I mean, we've been waiting for years.
Well,
Russiagate, whatever else, you know, the Durham report, the idea that, hey, don't get too excited too early. I don't think anybody's capable of it. We've had it, you know, way too many times.
Right. Hey, and then Sandra's saying, we got the school board members coming up here pretty quick. So Dr. Donna was saying, Sandra, the problem we have with the party is that they support the shiny candidate and tell people to vote for them because they need someone they feel can be elected. You know, it's not how that somebody they feel can do the job. So we end up with the same story all the time. And then Sandra says, not with Chuck and Anil and Moore in there. And then Dr. Donna says, Sandra, Chuck, I know Anil, the Chuck here. Yes, Dr. Donna, the Chuck here, if you haven't been following, Chuck was elected to the Colorado Republican Party's executive committee.
Yes.
And so Chuck has been
traveling the state trying to make sure they had primaries in which we just didn't elect
far left rhinos.
Well, and you're doing more than that, though. I think you guys, and there's a group of you who are saying, look, we're not just going to rubber stamp stuff because, you know, people have differences of opinion on Christy Burton Brown. I like some things she's doing. I don't like other things she's doing. But what I do like are you guys who are basically raising your hands and saying, well, wait a minute, let's hear both sides. Let's have a discussion. Let's not rubber stamp something just because it comes down from on top. You guys are actually doing your job. Now, I think they're going to include those 150 Wall Street corporations are going to be like, and let's make sure we get Chuck Bonnywell, that's a congressional, Chuck Bonnywell, Anil Mathai, Ben Nicholas, Peg Cage, Jimmy Mack. We don't want them anywhere near
Joe Stengel,
yeah. Joe Stengel, anywhere near any kind of elections. But when somebody was earlier saying, you know, what can we do? That's the kind of thing where you can do. You can go to your caucus meetings, your precinct meetings when the election, when it comes back around, and make sure that you elect people to represent you in the Republican Party who you think are going to actually represent you. Because if you don't show up, then they just, the establishment puts their own people in.
Establishment, I can tell you, the establishment Republicans like Owens and so forth are just terrible. I mean, these are not conservatives. They're not. All they are is just stooges for Democrats. That's right. All they are. That's all they are.
Well, and Dr. Donna is saying, don't forget me. I'm considering a run. Yes, Dr. Donna, you are somebody who doesn't just talk the talk. You walk the walk. Yeah. And so please, as you go through stuff, keep us informed. I know you took a lot of hits for speaking your mind and running. And it's not easy. But it's necessary. So we appreciate what you do too. You know, and Thomas, if we want to go ahead and call the school board candidates and we can get them on the phone, we're talking, it's going to be Mike Peterson and Kaylee Wongar. These are school board candidates in Douglas County. What happens in school board races, it's pretty tricky, is you don't have to declare an affiliation. And so it can be really hard to figure out who to vote for because they all essentially say the same thing. They all say, you know, well, we're for the kids, et cetera, et cetera. And it can, so that's one of the things we wanted to do is get these guys on there. Because I think what we're seeing, and Deborah Flora from KNUS did a great job. She was national, went national. She's in Douglas County and spoke to the school board there and pointed out, like I said, the Denver Post had this big article saying they're not teaching critical race theory in Colorado. Well, we played here on our show some training video that we got, training video that was presented to some 900 Douglas County teachers and staff members at, by the Gemini Project, which, by the way, was paid thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of our tax payer money. But basically what they're talking about is equity theory. Okay. So equity theory means it's critical race theory. That's all it is. The equity theory says simply that if you're white, then you're racist. And if you don't know that you're racist, then that's a microaggression. And so you're still racist. And if you say something like hello to a minority student, well, that's also microaggression. And that's racist too. Yeah, and that's why we need to basically teach people and teach their kids in our schools that if you're Black, you're automatically a victim of racist, that if, of racism. If you're a white student, you're automatically racist, even if you say, well, I have a Black friend, that's like, see, microaggression, that's racist.
Sure, bigotry.
That's what they're teaching the kids. And that, like I said, they call it other stuff because critical race theory, I think, has gotten such a complicated.
Well, critical race theory is just a cheap ripoff of Marxism where you substitute race for class. That's all it is, you know, so it's woo-woo. Really, really a great theory. And it's just pathetic. It's just pathetic. But it'll be interesting to talk to these candidates and see.
Yeah, hopefully we get them. We're supposed to get them. So Thomas, let us know when we get them. Theoretically, they were calling in. But sometimes that could be operator error. But, you know, that is something that we've wanted to talk
operator
about.
Operator, you.
Yeah, me, the minion error.
Yeah.
Because it is important. And it's the kind of thing that people did not realize was going on. And I think that was one of the side benefits, if there could be any, of the COVID, the Zoom classrooms were a disaster in many ways, but it did allow parents to see what was going on. Okay, good. We have them. So we've got Mike Peterson, Kaylee Wongar with us. What I'm going to do is, guys, we'll ask you questions. First, say hello. And maybe
well, just tell us about yourselves. Right. Just first, Mike and Kaylee. Hey. Just tell us about yourselves.
Mike, why don't we take you first? Thank you for joining the show.
I'm, Yeah, I'm Mike Peterson, and I'm running for the Douglas County School Board. My background is I spent over 25 years in the United States Navy, mostly flying on and off aircraft carriers. I've got three daughters, one up the road at the University of Denver. I've got one that just finished the first year of the Bridge program in Douglas County Schools, and that's for kids with special needs. And I have another one that's at Castleview High School that will be a sophomore here coming up in the fall. I really am interested in promoting the kids and their success here in the district, because many parents, I woke up and got to see what was going on during the last year of COVID disruptions, but I hope to bring some balance and some principal leadership to the board and represent all the taxpayers and everyone in Douglas County.
Let me ask you, and then we'll get to Katie too, because and we're going to get some specific questions. And I want to let people know too, if you're listening on Zoom, you can ask a question. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. You can also call in and ask a question. When you say that you got woke during the COVID thing, what kinds of stuff did you see that made you think, holy cow, I need to get involved here?
Yeah, the first thing is, like many parents, I was working out of the home, because many of us were, and the home became the school. And as I was listening in on some of the lessons and the things that were being taught online, next thing you know, I had my daughter doing her schoolwork in my den, as long as we didn't have conflicts. And the first thing that caught me was just the disruption, the fact that my daughter was home, that she wasn't in-person learning. And my youngest daughter really had an issue with that. Not only did it hurt kids academically, it hurt them socially, mentally. We've had a lot of rise in suicide here in Douglas County. So that was the first thing that caught my eye. And then the next thing is I became more involved and started listening to instruction and looking at the policies. And listening to the board meetings, I was amazed by the amount of time that was going into this educational equity policy and other things. And the education at the forefront being the primary, reading, writing, math, the main stuff, it just didn't seem was getting as much attention as it could have, especially during a COVID year.
Okay. How about then Kaylee?
These are candidates. Some people wonder. Oh. Douglas County.
Yeah, Douglas County School Board. But keep in mind, this is going on in your school districts, too. So, Kaylee, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about you and why you decided to have to go to a whole bunch of school board meetings.
Yeah, so I'm Kaylee Weininger. I'm one of the other candidates running for one of the four seats up for school board this November. And my story is I was raised in Douglas County, and I went to elementary school all the way to high school at public schools and had a great experience. And I grew up with my mom being a teacher in Douglas County School District for 15 years. And then after high school, I went to college, got my accounting degree from Metro in Denver, then got married and started my accounting career. And in the middle of all that, I got my MBA, and we had a daughter who is 5 years old now.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, holy cow.
My husband and I, we decided, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, what made you decide that, because you've got a lot going on, that you wanted to get involved in the school board?
Yeah, so getting into that, now that my daughter's five and going to start public schools in the same exact county that I was raised in, I at first was like, oh, everything's great. It's the same as when I was here. And then obviously last year happened. And I saw how the lockdowns were happening and the masks mandates and how it just felt one-sided on the board decisions. And I didn't feel like anyone up there on the dais represented me up on the board. So, and then also in reading through what their current policy was, it had the word equity all over the place, which was confusing and concerning to me. And so I believe all four of us who are running will bring that true holistic representation of Douglas County, and will courageously be the voice that's missing on the school board.
Well, one of the problems that I've noticed in school boards is that the union candidates run as if they weren't union candidates, as if they were choice candidates, or they were average
parents
who cared about the kids, when they're really just shields for the union. And I think, anyway, that you all have to send out literature saying, here are the teacher union-backed candidates, yeah. Here is us, and make it clear that you are not the union candidates, and make it clear to people, because Mike just gave an explanation, I think, early on what he wants, but I promise you the teacher's union candidate would say the same thing, but in reality, they would do something very different.
And isn't that's what happened the last election, right? Maybe you guys aren't aware of that, but I think that's what happened, that people were confused about who they were and who and what they were voting for. So are you guys going to be making an effort, like Chuck said, to just
send out a mailer or something? Here are the union candidates. We're the non-union candidates. And that's all people need to know. That is all 99% of the people need to know and want to know.
Yeah, I would say, Chuck and Julie, on that, we are definitely running as a slate because we share a lot of common principles. Both Kaylee, myself, Becky Myers, and Christy Williams, the other two candidates, we see ourselves as being the principled candidates. I think you mentioned earlier, Julie, people just want to vote for the shiny candidate. Well, we may not be shiny, but we are principled. So we're looking to listen to people, but we also have some key things that we absolutely believe in. And the first one of those is Douglas County student-centered decision-making. If it's not right for Douglas County, if it's a Washington, D.C. issue, hell, even if it's a Denver issue, probably not something that concerns us. We're concerned with what affects Douglas County, and we really do want to put kids first, which is why we call ourselves the Kids First Slate.
The trouble with the Kids First Slate is your opponents could call themselves the Kids First Slate. How are you going to point out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? Because you do have to say your opponents are the union candidates. If you don't do that, you'll be like last time and lose because people go, I don't know. The union back candidates will know.
They're going to have more money.
Have more money and everything else. You've got to get out there and really differentiate yourselves. And things like Kids First sound great, but I don't know what that means.
I'd love to get Kaylee's thoughts on this as well, but I think you can ask a couple questions. So first of all, we're definitely the conservative candidates, but I think some things you can quickly figure out where people stand in terms of candidates. The first one, you can ask them about CRT. You were discussing it earlier. You can ask where do you stand on this thing called equity and critical race theory, and you're going to find some very different answers between the candidates. The next thing you can start asking about is how the board should govern. And I'll tell you, I've seen this board do a lot of things to people. I haven't seen them do very much with people. And we're very much interested in pushing that decision-making down to the local school level where it's being done by the parents in conjunction with the teachers, in conjunction with the local principals. And that's something you just haven't seen out of this board.
I think you're right. And I think hopefully the voters of Douglas County have become a little bit educated themselves. A lot of parents are, I think, and they know the question to ask. Kaylee, let me ask you.
Well, it's important never to overestimate the extent of knowledge and caring of a voter.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
I want to talk about their ideas. I mean,
OK, but I want to talk how we win because we lost the last one and now I desperately want to win.
What about, Kaylee, for you? I mean, you didn't address this, but I mean, your thoughts on this whole equity. Like I said, I think that they're trying to trick us by saying, no, we don't do critical race theory. We do equity. But it's the same thing for all practical purposes, I think. What's your position on that?
Mm-hmm. Very similar to yours. So the word equity to me is the issue here, because if you read Douglas County School District's policy, if you read through it, it's not so controversial. Equity, though, is a word that connotates or means something different to everyone. So obviously to me, it's a common accounting term to me because of my background. But in the social world, it's a word that to some people is harmless, but to others, including me and you guys and quite a few people in Douglas County, it has negative connotations because it's associated with critical race theory, which is not something that is appropriate to be brought into the K-12 education world for multiple reasons. And just to be clear, we're not against teaching the good and bad of America's history. And also, we already have policy on discrimination, and we have programs, great programs, like Plum Creek Academy for students with special needs, DC Oaks for students who struggle with regular school. And we're still working toward more programs like that. So it feels redundant and unnecessary to have a policy focus so much on the word equity. And it's caused many parents to feel that lack of transparency and that they've been lied to. And the school district can try to define it the way they want, but that doesn't mean it will be interpreted that way. I mean, it's already allowed Gemini group training, which preaches equal outcomes, which isn't good. So, so our plan is to trim the fat, reevaluate unnecessary and controversial areas of the school district's policy, and have it align better with our community's values.
No, no, to me, that I mean, we're parents. We have a 10-year-old, and I know he's in school up here in Adams County. I mean, he's in a charter school. But you know, it's easy to just think, like you said, everything's going along fine, you know, and all of a sudden you pay attention and you're like going like, what are they teaching now? They're not teaching this at our kids' school. But I think who would have known if it hadn't been for this COVID and if it hadn't been for people like you and some of the, like Deborah Flora, some of the parents down there, Joy Overbeck, some of the folks in Douglas County who are bringing this out, people wouldn't know. I mean, when we listen to some of that Gemini Project's training and you're listening to these people, I mean, they're flat out saying, hey, you know, 5-year-old, if you're white, you're a racist. And, you know, maybe you can't even spell it, but you are. And if your parents tell you you're not, well, then they're racist too. And no matter what you say or do, you can't win on that. And I mean, to me, it's just so backwards of what we need to be teaching our children.
But your race is not going to be between clear ideological differences. They will hide, they will confuse, they will send out, except to their own supporters, they will send out messages that are almost the same as yours. And how are you going to distinguish it?
Okay, I don't think they will send out similar messages. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say my kind of addresses and Chuck, we told them we wanted to talk about their policies, not just tell them how to run. I understand. I think they understand what you're saying too, but Kaylee, I mean, it is a good point though. What kinds of things or ideas do you have to make sure that the other side doesn't bamboozle voters?
Ideas to stop them from bamboozling us. I guess we don't know, they haven't announced their candidates yet, the other side is, so it's hard to really come up with a strategy until we know that. And we have a great team behind us helping us with that campaign strategy, so.
Okay, good.
We'll get on that once the time comes.
Well, and that answered a question. One of our listeners was asking who are the other side, and so they haven't announced yet, so okay.
How about the good old mother's milk of politics, money. They'll have tons of money behind their candidates from the unions and Democrats. Where are you going to get some money?
Yeah. Good question, huh?
Yeah, I think you guys can help with that. I'll put in a shameless plug. If anyone listening here goes to voteforkidsfirst.com, that's the number 4, voteforkidsfirst.com, you can see all 4 of our candidates, Kaylee, myself, Becky Myers, Christy Williams. You can read about us, our backgrounds, our principles, and also you can donate there. So you hit it on the nail on the head. I think 4 years ago, Douglas County set a national record for the most expensive school race, or one of them in the country. And there's going to be a lot of money that pours into this race. So that's something we're going to have to compete with. And it being a nonpartisan race, there won't be R's, D's, or I's, you know, next to people's names to identify candidate and party affiliation. At the end of the day, you just people are going to have to do their research. I look at it kind of like judges, right? Everybody knows when the list of judges to come out at voting time, they have that person they call. We're hoping the people that know us best, that know what we've done, that know what we can do for the community and for the students, are going to be those people they call to say, hey, tell us who you were voting for and why, and that they can express why we would be better for the district than the opposition. As Kaylee mentioned, we have no idea who the opposition is. I would love to run against the 4 incumbents because I think their record speaks for themselves, and it's not been good. And it hasn't been decisive, and it hasn't involved leadership.
Right. Well, okay, and you hit it. Some of the things that Chuck's talking about, obviously you need money to do. So hopefully, so one more time before we let you go, the website where people can go to find out about you, to donate, to help, to get just get
and money. I really want to encourage people to donate, and I think we should donate. This is a critical election, and it sounds like Mike and Kelly are great people. It's time that we all fight back, and Douglas County is ground zero.
So where, one more time, where can folks go?
Yeah, one more time, voteforkidsfirst.com. Again, it's vote4kidsfirst.com, and that's where they can read about the candidates, and that's where they can donate.
All right. Hey, and guys, listen, we'll have the other two candidates on your slate on next week. And Holly, the person, thanks to her for getting in touch with us. Please keep in touch with us. We're happy to help. This is an important election, and people around the country are going to be watching to see what happens in Douglas County like they are in other school districts. So we're happy to help however we can. Absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for taking Chuck's free election advice. He gives that freely to everyone, just so you know.
It may not be worth much, but you get it anyway.
But the price is right.
Price is right.
And it's good advice. I will say that. Thank you guys
for your time.
Good luck to you.
Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Chuck and Julie.
All right. Thank you. Mike Peterson there, Kaylee Wenegar. And you're right. I mean, in some of the comments here too, it's, I think the time for Republican candidates to be polite is over. Republican candidates, I think we need to across the board realize it's war. And particularly in school boards, our kids' futures are at stake.
And I don't think teacher unions have been less popular than ever. I mean, I think people have seen that the teacher unions don't really care about people. They care about taking time off and screwing off.
Yeah, people realize they were the teachers union, they wouldn't win.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they wouldn't
if,
win.
If you identify the other ones, somebody identifies as, you don't want the candidate to do it necessarily, but
right,
someone should say, these are the union hacks.
I mean, it'd be pretty simple. Put on TV commercials, union hack, union hack. Yeah. Support, cause your kid a racist.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
It would be, the messaging is pretty straightforward. In fact, we just designed their campaign for it. We'll call them back and say. Yeah, that was free too. But I think, again, Republicans, we got to do this. We can't sit back and say, well, I mean, and Mike and Kaylee, I think they're political novices, and mm-hmm. I'll give them credit, all the credit for jumping in.
Yeah, me too.
But they
me
need
too.
Somebody behind them. They
well,
need
like a good advisor.
Yeah, exactly. They need like a, I was going to say a military general, but they're too woke anymore, so they wouldn't get anything done. they need you guys there. Hey guys, that is going to kind of wrap it up for us. I want to remind people you can catch the show at chuckandjulie.com. We're still on YouTube, at least for the time, for the time being. Thank you to this guest for coming on. Friday, we're going to have Matt Arnold to talk more about Tay Anderson. And also Mark Poff is going to join us, former El Paso County investigator. He's going to be filling in for us on Monday, and he's got a great show planned. You're going to want to hear about that too. So we will see you all on Party Friday.
Take care.